Friday, March 28th, we do have a quorum. Let the record state that. I want to apologize, first of all, for the time changes to today's meeting. Unfortunately, there were issues beyond our control that delayed the start time. We do plan to complete our business by the start of session at 11 o'clock today. We only have one item on our agenda, and that is Senate File 2917, Senator Rest, and we'd ask you to please come to the table. Senator Rest, welcome to the committee, and I think if nothing else, this certainly shows why we need to make some renovations to the Capitol. This is the only room available today, and obviously it's not the greatest hearing room, but welcome to the committee, and welcome. We're glad to have you to present Senate File 2917.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. I do have, to start with, the A1 amendment, which is a delete everything amendment.
And members, we should already have that in your packet. It's the A1 author's amendment. Senator Coonan moves the A1 author's amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The A1 amendment is adopted. Senator Rest, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And the A1 amendment just updates a lot of information. This bill is a companion to Representative Anselk's in the in the other body. It is a bill that you don't have it.
Senator Rest, I guess we're having a hard time hearing.
Oh, I thought this was a projecting mic. It's not.
Oh, they don't amplify. They just record, I'm told. So we'll just have to try to.
I'll speak a whole lot louder, Senator Dames. How's that? Is that good? Is that better? Okay. I just said that this is the Delete Everything Amendment is an update on the language introduced by Representative Anselk in the companion to this bill. And it does propose, as you know, a constitutional amendment dealing with a minimum wage, but mostly focusing on the issue of indexing or inflation, which is where the House and the Senate seem to be stuck at this time. We're not at an impasse over the number that the House and the Senate, or the Senate has come up a whole lot to 950. We've offered 950 to the House. We seem to be, at least for members in our caucus, we are ready, even those of us that were hesitant about going to 950. We're now, I think, probably almost all of us are on board at 950. So the amount of the minimum wage is no longer an issue. It's what has become the sticking point is the issue of inflation. Senator Bach and I have been having any number of conversations about tax issues, but in all of those conversations, we always seem to come back to talking about progress or the lack of progress on the issue of inflation in the conference committee on the minimum wage. And so we're offering this path as an opportunity to break that logjam. It doesn't necessarily, it can't in a sense because of our rules. It can't be attached to the conference committee. It goes independently. Constitutional amendments by rule, both in the House and the Senate, have to be single subject issues. And that is what this is. And the submission to the voters, the question would read, shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to establish a minimum wage at a rate of at least $9.50 per hour that is increased each year by the rate of inflation? And again, those last words are the words that that we feel that the impasse has been reached. And so one of the things that I've done, and I would encourage members to do, there's an extremely good article in this month's state legislatures. It is the the monthly magazine that's put out by the National Conference of State Legislatures. Minnesota is not the only state that is considering changes in the minimum wage, and of course President Obama has by executive order imposed an increase in the minimum wage on employees of federal contractors. But I certainly would recommend it to you, and what I find interesting about it is it does take on the issue of inflation and talks about there are studies that support it, and there are studies that say it is not good policy. You can find, each of you can find a study to justify your position. Let me assure you, you can do that. I go back to the arguments about inflation and looking at what other states have done. And there are currently 11 states that have inflation as part of their minimum wage structure. 10 out of the 11 have inflation provided for by voter-approved measures in 10 out of the 11 states that have a minimum wage with an inflation. Just recently, a few days ago, as a matter of fact, the state of Connecticut, the Senate there passed another minimum wage bill. They already had one in place that had a phase in that was going to $9. I believe it is on January 1st of this coming year. And they had considered inflation and set it aside. But what they did was this year, they came back and they raised it again. They have now in place a different schedule over the next few years. And for those who say that that's not possible, that there's no political will in state legislatures to do that, I say let's look at the state of Connecticut. They're doing it, and they're doing it right now, and their governor is supportive of it, and the bill would be going to the House. And so I certainly hope that they will do that. There are some of us in the Senate that would and I'm only speaking for myself, not the caucus, that would support going to where the president is at 10-10. 950 is not a magic number. It doesn't have to be the floor. It can be a starting point to get us to, or we can, the goal can be a different end point for the next 3 years. And I don't think we should be hemmed in by 950 as well. But the Senate and the House are both at 950, and the number itself is not the issue. It's not what's causing the stalemate. So in my conversations with Senator Bach, here now is a different path for the legislature and the people of Minnesota to consider. The notion of what should qualify for going in as a constitutional amendment, because of course we do not have initiative and referendum in our state, and that as a constitutional amendment has been rejected on more than one occasion. Generally, in my mind, things shouldn't go in the Constitution that can be accomplished by statute. You should put things in the Constitution, although the Minnesota Constitution is a political document, and most state constitutions are political documents rather than solely foundational documents like the United States Constitution. But you should put things in there only that can't be done by statute. But there gets to be a point, and we've reached this point on other occasions as well, where an issue is so volatile, it's so full of advocates of one side or the other, that it is not unseemly for the legislature to ask the voters themselves to participate in the process of this very important issue. And so here is this other path that Senator Bach and I have consulted on, and that we offer for your consideration this morning. And I know that there are a lot of people that would like to express their opinions on this, and so I'll just move to the side table then with your permission.
Thank you very much, Senator Russ, for explaining the bill. Thank you for bringing it forward.
Okay.
With that, we're going to move to testimony now, members. We'll take testimony. We have 15 names listed on the agenda. I would ask the testifiers to try to be brief. Keep your comments to about 2 minutes. I understand we have others on the list that are interested in speaking, and if we can get to them, we certainly will. However, we do plan to move to a vote around 10:45 this morning, so we have about a half an hour. We've allowed time for that. So I think what we'll do is try to bring you up in groups of two or three, and we'll go with that. Let's start with Ben Gerber, Jennifer Shawback, and Mike Hickey. Please state your name for the record and then make any comments you might have.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ben Gerber. I took the middle to mediate the disputes, but thank you for having us here. This is a unique group of people at the stand. I think we're all here to oppose this, which very rarely happens where we're all sitting up here to oppose something in front of this committee. We have supported things in the past. We've made our position on the minimum wage abundantly clear in the Senate committees, in the House committees, and in the conference committee. We just want to, we're here today to oppose legislating by constitutional amendment. I think what the bill author said just briefly in response, that we've already elected people to speak for us. We don't need to send this to the people. That's why we elect legislators to do this. And we believe that legislating through the Constitution is especially dangerous to resolve a conflict between people that we've already previously elected to resolve these conflicts. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Jennifer Shawback.
Shawback, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jennifer Shawback. I am the legislative director for the Minnesota AFL-CIO. We are a labor organization of more than 1,000 affiliate unions representing more than 300,000 working men and women throughout the state. As Ben said, yes, we are here today to testify against Senate Bill 2917. The Constitution is for laying out the role, structure, and financing of government within our state, but it's not for giving specific direction or guidelines to the businesses of Minnesota. I think folks would agree there. Constitutional amendments are not the best way to form public policy. It is best formed here at the legislature by the representatives elected by their constituents to consider and deliberate all the information presented to them and make an informed decision. Since last year, you've heard testimony from people who are struggling to make ends meet and support their families, testimony from businesses and testimony from experts who have cited study after study that showing that raising the minimum wage has a very positive economic impact on our constituents and the state's economy as a whole. Now it's time to make a decision. To date, I don't believe the Senate has made an offer back to the House that doesn't include indexing, that it would be comprehensive or goes above the 950, or as some have stated, they are willing to go higher. Today, the Minnesota AFL-CIO and its affiliates, along with more than 70 of our faith and nonprofit partners, stand in solidarity and ask you not to put this in our state's constitution, but instead do what is right by the constituents who elected you and pass legislation to increase the minimum wage with some form of indexing. Thank you for your time and the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Ms. Shawback. Mr. Hickey, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business. As many of you know, we represent more business entities than anybody else in the state with about 13,000 members. And we have a new coalition here today, Mr. Chairman. I think it speaks for itself to have the three of us sitting at the table here today.
We're
strongly
going.
Opposed to this, and the legislature should not go down this road of I'm not saying it's a regular issue, but this is the normal type of issues you're here to vote on. You've been elected to vote on, and you're here to make decisions on, you need to be accountable on. We shouldn't go down the road of putting these things in the Constitution. I think it sets a terrible precedent for the next one, and the next one. And actually, Senator Bach has a very good idea to try to limit this type of thing from occurring around here and raising the bar, as you know, to what gets on the ballot and the ad campaigns and everything else that triggers. and the money, the additional money that brings to politics. And just it's a bad idea. You need to make these decisions. That's why you're here. And I strongly urge you not to go down this road. Just a brief comment on the proposal. The proposal does not have near the detail of the Senate proposal. I think it's confusing the voters. It doesn't have a small business wage. It doesn't have a training wage. And the proposal itself is very disappointing from our perspective. But on the big picture, we urge you to reject this and not go down the road of doing this.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Any questions for the witnesses? Thank you very much. Next on the list, we have Bree Halverson, Jamie Poole, and Sarah Schrantz. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Sparks, and thank you, committee. My name is Bree Halverson, and I'm here from Working America. We represent 280,000 members in Minnesota who don't have the benefit of a union at the workplace. We're here to speak against making this a constitutional amendment. As a member of the Raise the Wage Coalition, we've been talking to members all over the state since May about this issue. People at the doors have not only overwhelmingly expressed their support for 950 index for inflation, but they tell us their stories and what the increase will mean for them. Our members share with us that they need to work 2 to 3 jobs because they cannot find one with high enough hourly wage, enough hours available to pay the bills. As we talk to members at the door, their reasons about supporting this are very clear. They're struggling to pay back student loans. Their adult children and family are moving back because they can't pay their bills. Or they'd like to go back to school themselves, but they don't have any room in their budget to afford it. These workers need a raise now and shouldn't have to wait until November. If the minimum wage was raised to at least $9.50 and indexed, our members could catch up and keep up. They've been dealing with the cost of food and gas increasing, but their wages have stayed the same. During the minimum wage challenge that our organization put on this year, our members shared with legislators about how they struggle each month to juggle which bills that they're going to pay. And a meaningful increase with the predictability of indexing would help ease some of the stress that they are currently experiencing. Working America hopes that you don't pass this as a constitutional amendment, but legislate an increase in the minimum wage to at least $9.50 with indexing and stand up for our workers here in Minnesota. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Ms. Poole.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Jamie Poole, and I'm president of the Minnesota Grocers Association. The Minnesota Grocers Association is a state trade association representing the retail food industry for over 115 years. We have over 200 members servicing 1,100 stores statewide, as well as 115 distributor and manufacturer partners. Our member companies employ over 125,000 union and non-union Minnesotans. The retail food industry is the backbone of Minnesota's economy, providing about 1 out of every 20 jobs in the state. As we have previously testified, a substantial minimum wage increase linked to inflation would be severely detrimental to our industry. The Minnesota Grocers Association would like to thank this committee for its previous work on minimum wage. Last year, you passed a reasonable increase at $7.75, included a youth wage, and did not link this to inflation. Placing this amendment on the ballot circumvents the legislative process and undermines the work that has previously been done. Our members are faced with challenging decisions every day to stay viable in this competitive marketplace. Putting labor provisions in our state constitution, such as indexing minimum wage to inflation, would be unprecedented for Minnesota. Voters entrust elected officials to make challenging decisions for the common good. This proposal to amend our constitution would have severely detrimental to businesses and have unintended consequences for the state. We ask you today to oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Sarah Schrantz. I own Muddy Waters in Minneapolis. My general leanings are very far left. I generally agree with all of it. I am for a tier minimum wage increase. I am absolutely for a minimum wage increase, though. I personally, in our restaurant, the way this bill is written would have left us with negative $56,000 last year. I don't mean $56,000 less in profit. I mean negative $56,000 for the year. Our server is the most poorly compensated server, makes $15 an hour, and that's a server who can't handle very big sections and only takes 2 tables. Our highest paid server is $30 an hour. the people who need help are in the back of the house. And we already pay higher than what you guys are proposing in the back of the house for untipped employees. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony.
Question, Mr. Poole?
Yeah, well, just hang on just a second. Senator Bonoff.
Question for Ms. Poole.
Okay, Senator Bonoff.
Ms. Poole, if you thought the legislature was going to vote yes on an inflationary increase, would you still oppose this being on the ballot?
Ms. Poole?
Mr. Chairman? Senator Bonoff, we would still oppose taking this out. We think this should be addressed in the legislature and that is the responsibility of the legislature to come up with the best decision. I know many of you have heard from our members is where we stand on that. You've heard from us testify multiple times, but it is we believe, up to the legislature.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Ms. Poole. Next, we have Robin Madsen, Peggy Flanagan, and Robin Madsen. Rachel English, please. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Robin Madsen, and I am a member of the Board of Directors for the Community Action Partnership of Ramsey and Washington County. And I am here today to talk about the minimum wage issue that we're all talking about. From the perspective of community action. First of all, I want to go on record to let you know that Community Action Partnership of Ramsey and Washington County went on record supporting raising the minimum wage and indexing it. And quite honestly, they did say 1010 was a lovely number, but they would go with 950. Just wanted to let you know that. We strongly believe that increasing the minimum wage and indexing it will positively benefit the 23,000 low-income households that we work with. And remember, that is just in Ramsey and Washington County. There are many, many more CAP organizations around the state. The community action participants are working adults. They are not teens. 47% of our families live and use for their daily expenses what they make in their employment. The majority of the rest of our families also hold jobs, but they have to have additional support from government resources because they simply cannot make ends meet. If you increase the minimum wage to $9.50 now and index it, they will have more money in their pocket. They will be able to buy food. They'll be able to buy boots and coats for their kids, which would have been needed drastically this winter. And they would be able to meet their minimum needs in their daily life. Community Action also cares about the growth and the health of the business community in the state. And we believe that by raising the minimum wage, it will provide more buying power for people to go out and spend money in the small businesses and the large businesses. Many of the jobs created in the post-recession we're in low-wage occupations, as we all know, and it is predicted that is where the job growth will be. So by legislating the raising of the minimum wage and indexing it, you as legislators will demonstrate that you understand that the minimum wage needs to go up and that it needs to keep up with the ever-increasing costs. From a personal standpoint, I'd like to say that the cost of a gallon of milk has gone up at the grocery store where I shop. I sit next to a low-income wage mom on the board at Community Action Partnership, and I am hoping that you will consider making sure that this gets done now so that when she goes to the grocery store, she won't have to decide if she's going to buy 1 gallon of milk or two. She does have small children, and she works very hard. Putting this on the state constitution is not a good idea. And on behalf of CAP, I would strongly encourage you not to do this. This is something that should be done now. It should be done by you. You understand the issue. And thank you very much for letting me speak this morning.
Thank you very much, Ms. Madsen, for your comment.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Peggy Flanagan, and I'm the Executive Director of Children's Defense Fund Minnesota. I'm also the co-chair of Minnesota's Raise the Wage campaign, a coalition of over 60 faith, labor, and nonprofit organizations. Children's Defense Fund's mission is to ensure that every child has a healthy start, a head start, a fair start, and a moral start in life. We provide strong, effective, and independent voice for all children of Minnesota who cannot vote, lobby, or speak for themselves. We support programs and policies that increase the economic stability of families and improve child well-being. Raising the minimum wage and indexing it to inflation would do both. However, we do not support putting this issue on the ballot. Minnesota's working families have waited long enough. It's time to pass a minimum wage bill of at least $9.50, indexed for inflation, so that we can catch up and keep up. The coalition does not support legislating by constitutional amendments. Minnesotans elected legislators to govern. Minimum wage is a legislative issue, not a constitutional one. By passing a minimum wage bill that catches up to at least $9.50 and keeps up by indexing future increases to inflation, you have the opportunity to keep politics out of minimum wage once and for all. A ballot campaign would do the opposite. Low-wage workers and their families should not have to wait for a November ballot campaign to determine whether or not the minimum wage catches up and keeps up. By passing a minimum wage bill in the legislature, workers will begin seeing their pay go up in August and every following year. You have the opportunity to provide more economic security for 360,000 Minnesotans and their families. 137,000 children will benefit from an increase in the minimum wage indexed to inflation. These children are not interested in political grandstanding or political games. They care about whether or not they will have food in their bellies and a safe place to sleep at night. I urge this committee to think about these children as you vote today, and I urge you to vote no for the littlest Minnesotans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Flanagan. Any questions for the witnesses? If not, thank you very much for your testimony. Next we have Patrick Ness and Jeff Bauer. Welcome to the committee. I'm sorry. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Patrick Ness with the Amherst H. Wilder Foundation in St. Paul. We are a nonprofit organization that has been around for 109 years, serving low-income children, families, and older adults through services, research, leadership development, and community building. We have endorsed a $9.50 indexed minimum wage as part of confronting poverty and looking at opportunity gaps. This is a step in the right direction. This is not a living wage, and so we're looking forward to making progress toward that. I just want to say that I spend a lot of time here, just like all of you do, and we can get very caught up in the inside game of all of this. Just to pull back and focus on what we're all here for, and I know everyone here is for, it's for the children and the families who are struggling to make ends meet. I think of Erica, a family at our Child Development Center, works minimum wage. I said, what would a bump in pay do for you? And she said, wow, that would really be something. First, I get tissue and toiletry items, diapers, things like that. And then she kind of paused and she said, you know, once I got a couple extra shifts and I was able to take, my mom and I took our boys to the movies. That was nice. I'd like to do something like that again. I think of the Dunn Brothers employee that I got talking to at the University of Minnesota. I said, we got in conversation, and I said, what would this mean to you? She said, well, I graduated last year, and my student loans are coming due after the grace period. I would make sure that I would pay off my student loans. I think of my goddaughter, who's 4 years old, and when I visited their new apartment, mom working minimum wage in community college, and they're both sleeping on the floor of their apartment. And I think of the Capitol cafeteria worker that I got talking with who said, you know, I'm in my second shift right now because I have a paper route in the morning. She makes $9. She has coworkers who make $8 running back and forth between the two cafeterias. And she said, this would make a huge difference in the lives of my family. So when we talk about, you know, the House and the Senate, I would just beg and urge that we focus on the families, the 137 kids that would be immediately impacted by this. Finally, I take voting very seriously. And we, and I believe in this process and the power of this legislative body to pass laws that govern our states. No matter the issue, I don't believe in constitutional amendments to guide policy like this. Alabama has over 600 constitutional amendments. Amendments beget amendments. Let's stop this. Let's get the job done this session. Let's take a step forward towards supporting low-wage workers. Let's pass a $9.50 index minimum wage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nest. Senator Nelson.
Mr. Chair, I just have a question.
Okay.
Are we taking testimony on minimum wage, or are we taking testimony on the amendment?
That's a good question, and I think that maybe that's a good point. I think we should stick to the amendment that's in front of us. We understand, obviously, this committee heard all the minimum wage bills last year, and we had a lot of debate, but that's a fair point, Senator Nelson. Mr. Bauer?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, and to your point, Senator Nelson, I will stick to the amendment. I'm Jeff Bauer. I'm the Director of Public Policy at an organization called the Family Partnership. I know some of you, certainly Senator Bonoff, Senator Nelson, are very well acquainted with our organization. We're a 136-year-old nonprofit organization in Minnesota. Last year, we served about 20,000 people. The vast majority of those people were either living below or very close to the poverty line. And a lot of those families were families who never thought that they'd ever catch a glimpse of the poverty line. And we're just seeing that a lot. So I just want to share a really quick story with you, and it relates directly to the question of putting this on the ballot or not. A couple weeks ago when we were in conference committee on the minimum wage, I called up a former program participant of ours named Carl. Great guy. You would all love him. Salt of the earth guy. Great Minnesotan. And I said, Carl, I'm really wondering if you'd be willing to come down and testify on this. I know this affects your family. And he kind of laughed, and he said, oh, you know I can't do that. And I said, well, you'd be great. What's so funny about it? He said, you got to understand, if I'm lucky, I get to go home after my second shift job, kiss my two girls goodnight, they're usually sleeping by then, and then go to my third shift job. I don't have time to come down and testify on this issue. And I said, well, what do you want me to tell them for you since you can't be there? And he said, you need to tell them that this isn't making a living at all. We're just trying to survive here. And so I want to tell you that. And so when I think about Carl and whether or not he would have the time and capacity to go hit the doors and the phones for the next 7 months to try to work on a ballot initiative to get a minimum wage increase, he can't do it. It's not going to happen. And so all I want to say is please get this done here. All Carl and his family want to do is work hard, have enough time to get home and tuck his kids in at night, maybe help them with their homework. And so I urge you to oppose putting this on the ballot. Just get it done, 950 indexed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Thank you very much for that story. I believe that Ms. English is here, so if you'd like to come forward now, we can hear from you, as well as Reverend Stevenson, and also I have Aaron Parrish, if you're in the room. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Rachel English, and I work with Jewish Community Action.
My name is Shakira Edwards. I'm a volunteer with Jewish Community Action.
Jewish Community Action strongly supports a minimum wage bill of at least $9.50. $10 would be great as well, indexed to inflation. The Jewish community has come out very strong in support of a higher minimum wage. Both Jewish Community Action, National Council of Jewish Women, Hadassah, and many of the members of the rabbinical community have supported a higher minimum wage at the 950 level indexed to inflation. And one of the things that makes our organization great is the volunteers that we have that work with us. And so I want to introduce Shakira Edwards, who's been volunteering with us on our minimum wage efforts, to talk about her personal story.
Great. Ms. Edwards, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you. What I can say is that I'm a teenager. I go to high school. I work with youth groups. I'm very busy. I have a job at Applebee's. I work hard for what I make. I work hard. But it doesn't seem like my job works hard for me as well. I have grown up this way in low-income housing, and it seemed like we can hardly make ground. You know, I can't make ground anywhere. What I can say is that I put so much of my time into my job but it seems like my job doesn't put enough time in for me. 725 isn't cutting it at all, for me at all. So I would just ask that this isn't taken any further because I don't have the time for it. I have no time at all for this because I know that I want to create a future for myself and my children to come. Not saying that I will work at minimum wage at all for a long time, but I know that I'm going to create me a future. And 950 is making some type of ground, which 725 isn't cutting it at all. So I would ask that this is just passed and that we move past this so I can have the time for myself. And that I can make a future for myself and make ground and have something for me. You know, because I'm not able to enjoy my high school time at all. I'm not able to enjoy it because I know I have to work 40 hours a week for 290. And that's not okay. Nobody needs to work and suffer in oppression at all. So I thank you for this time. Thank you.
Ms. Edwards, thank you for sharing your story. And I will let you know that the Minnesota Senate is committed to working on this minimum wage. So you need to know that. We're just talking today about adding an escalator through the constitutional amendment. But thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, GCA stands strongly with students like Shakira that are, you know, working in high school. She's gotten into college. She's got great plans for her future. And the money that she's working right now at Applebee's is going to save towards her college education. And as she said, you know, it's right now she's looking at it and it's not enough. She's going to support the money she's making is going to pay bills for her family, and right now it's not enough. And I think, you know, Jewish Community Action worked really strongly on the last two constitutional amendment proposals, the one for the voter ID and also for the marriage amendment. With that perspective and knowing the amount of money, the amount of time that we put in, we would ask the Senate to pass this now with indexing and support our community as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Erin Parrish, and I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Women's Consortium, which is a strong united coalition of 132 organizations and businesses and 4,200 individuals who are all committed to advancing equity and justice for women and girls in Minnesota. I'm here to testify in opposition of this bill and respectfully urge your vote against it. And I know we're talking about the constitutional amendment piece of this, and the Women's Consortium is not in support of making Minnesota women wait any longer in order to achieve economic security. To kind of highlight the urgency for women in Minnesota, I'd like to share a few statistics with you. Far too long, Minnesota women have had the double disadvantage of lower wages across almost all occupations and lower wages in female-dominated professions. Not only are female-dominated occupations compensated at lower levels overall, but women in these occupations generally earn less than men in the same occupation. Among hourly workers in Minnesota, women are more likely than others to be paid the minimum wage or less. And because of this and the fact that they make up 53% of all hourly workers, women accounted for 64% of all hourly workers at or below minimum wage. These are the majority of minimum wage earners that would have to wait if this were a constitutional amendment. The reality is harsher for women in greater Minnesota. Statistics show that the gap and the amount of women earning less than minimum wage or less at that 725, they're in greater Minnesota. Women in the metro area fare better, but they're still doing worse than men. And because too many women are segregated in low-wage work, this makes this a gender issue, and this is over half of the population in Minnesota we're talking about. Raising the minimum wage to $9.50 an hour, indexed for inflation, would mean better wages for about 202,000 women. But women and their families shouldn't have to wait until for a November ballot campaign to determine whether the minimum wage catches up and keeps up. At all levels of our policy work, the Minnesota Women's Consortium supports laws and statutes that allow women the opportunity to reach their full potential. This bill delays the ability for women to reach their full potential by achieving economic security. Too many Minnesota women are in poverty, and they can't wait any longer. So I respectfully urge you to consider over half of Minnesota's population when you vote on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ness. Senator Nelson.
Did you speak to the amendment? If you support this particular bill in amendment form?
Ms. No, Ness? We do not support it as an amendment form. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Reverend Stevenson, welcome to the committee, and I would ask, we're moving past our time allotted, so we want to give you a chance to speak, but if you could keep your comments to the amendment rather brief, that would be most appreciated.
I'm Mark Vingee, pastor at House of Hope Lutheran in New Hope, here with Grant.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try not to repeat any of the excellent testimony that you've heard here today, and I do want to speak specifically about the amendment that you're addressing. My name is Grant Stevenson. I have been a leader in the Isaiah organization for many years. I served Spirit of Truth Community in St. Paul and am currently the chaplain at McAllister College. I want to mention that I served as the faith director for Minnesota United for All Families, an $11 million campaign to defeat an amendment that was put on the Constitution. While the organization that I left to do that, the Isaiah organization, worked with many other organizations to defeat another amendment that was put on the ballot, the Vote No campaign on voter ID. We're opposed to using the Constitution to do the legislature's work. We're opposed to this amendment for the workers who fall behind every year. There's no adjustment in the minimum wage. They sit in our pews and they live in our communities, and they turn to us to make up the gap for their loss of wages, and they turn to social programs from the state of Minnesota. We're opposed to this amendment because when minimum wage fails to keep pace with inflation, when workers who earn this wage fall further and further behind, it threatens their well-being. The Minnesota Department of Health recent report on wages and health tells us that low-wage workers live on average 8 years less in the state of Minnesota. It's not overstating it to say that this is a life and death conversation we're having. We're opposed to this amendment because this proposal would potentially leave us with minimum wage increase that could, in just a couple of years, become meaningless. I know that in this body, you're aware of what happens when you let wages slip. 11 months ago, the Senate passed a 30% increase for your own wages, and you needed to do that because it's been so long since there was an increase. In my opinion, you are woefully compensated for the service that you give to this state, and yet that increase, as you know, did not become law. I know what it's like to run institutions and organizations, not an organization as big as the state of Minnesota, but I know this. When you run an organization, when you are in leadership, it is not good enough to not lead. You have to set the bar. In the state of Minnesota, we need the Senate, and we need the House, and we need the governor to set the bar and to pull this out of politics. This is not just the faith community in the metro area that cares about this. The Pages have given you a letter written by Bishop Larry Wolrobbie. He's a Lutheran bishop in Moorhead, Minnesota. And Bishop Wolrobbie said this: "I hope that Minnesotans, most of us who belong to faith communities that value and care for the poor, will not allow this moral issue to be reduced to mere politics. We stand with Bishop Wolrobbie on this, and we ask you to please defeat this amendment and to take leadership in Minnesota and set the bar for the poorest Americans, those of you who so well deserve a raise in this room. You will have many of us at your backs if you bring that again. But those who earn the lowest wages in the state of Minnesota, if you don't have their backs, nobody does. Thank you."
Thank you very much for your comments, Reverend. With that, members, that concludes the testimony that we had. So, members, if you'd like to have any discussion at this time, Senator Ress.
I could just make a brief comment.
You certainly can, Senator Ress.
And I'll get back.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I do appreciate all the testimony today. This is a very important issue before us, but I do hope that the committee will focus on the issue of inflation and indexing. As I mentioned in my presentation, 10 of the 11 states that have inflation as part of the structure of their minimum wage have passed it with the inflation has been put in it by a voter approval measure. And the reason for that is exactly to keep politics and gaming of the minimum wage every single year to deal with inflation out of the legislative arena. There are those of us that, whether it's in the Constitution or not, don't particularly think that inflation is a good policy. But just keep that, please, in mind as you consider your vote on this issue. And ironically, with the last testifiers, the issue of legislative pay, which could have been put into statute, is going to be on the ballot in 2016 for the people to decide how legislative pay is to be determined. And so there are issues that rise to the level of the importance of letting the people have a say. It's on the ballot for legislative pay, also to take it out of the arena of politics. And this proposal would be, I think, fall in that same area of arguments. Thank you very much,
Thank
Mr.
you,
Chairman.
Senator West. Members, any discussion? Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question as it relates to the amendment here, because as it refers to the Senator West, as it refers to the annual implicit price deflator, comparing it to the 2013 implicit price deflator, exactly what is that number, and how does it relate to CPI, for example, and that type of thing?
Senator West.
Mr. Chairman, there have been a number of articles that compare the CPI with the implicit price deflator. And as I understand it, the implicit price deflator has, as an indication of inflation, it has a larger basket of goods in it than does the consumer price index. What I have read indicated that the implicit price deflator would have produced a lower increase in the minimum wage over the last several years than the consumer price index. And so, you know, either one is a reasonable indicator of inflation, as long as you understand that the implicit price deflator does have a larger basket of goods. And in the amendment's language, it does indicate that for some reason the federal government does not release that information, that the legislature would have discretionary authority to select another inflation indicator. And that is the that's, you know, what as a layperson with regard to that I understand the differences.
Thank you. Senator Herr and then Senator Root. Senator Herr. Senator Herr, that's a good question. If the committee acts favorably, because it's a constitutional amendment, it would be re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration.
Okay.
Senator Root.
Mr.
And then
Chair,
Senator Dame. Senator Root.
And Senator Rest. I think you should all keep this agenda, because in my legislative career, I have never seen such a diverse and fascinating group of people in one room and with a solid voice and a united voice say no. Every testifier on this list, I mean, this is an incredible list of people. And so, such a diverse list. And they represent just about every faction in the state of Minnesota. And they have come before us this morning and said no. And so I urge you to listen.
Senator Bonhoff to that point? Otherwise, that's Senator Dames. No, okay, Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Unfortunately, I think it's really shameful that we sit here as legislators and bring this issue to this committee as a constitutional amendment. To me, it really shows the inability of our current leadership to negotiate, bring bills forward, and come up with some resolution. In many committees, when we have these type of issues, we send the bills back out and say, you know what, there's work needs to be done on this. And it's quite apparent. With the minimum wage bill, with the standstill we're at, there's reasons that's happening. Because there's a lot of people involved, a lot of stakeholders, that aren't seeing eye to eye. So what do? We say, we'll do a constitutional amendment, and we shirk our responsibility. Why are we not saying we need to get more stakeholders back to the table, get this worked out, and get everybody on board? There is a common grounds amongst minimum wage that we can get the stakeholders to support, come back with the bill next year, and get this taken care of. Now, if we say we need to do a constitutional amendment, then what we're really saying is it's not that urgent to get this done today. And if it's not that urgent to get it done today, then why don't we send this thing back to the stakeholders, get it worked out, bring a clean bill in next year, pass the bill, and do what's right. This is shameful for us to sit here today and talk about making something at this level a constitutional amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I respect Senator Dames enormously, but I would point out that the conference committee's deliberations and this path are separate. They do not need to be considered as linked at all. And I, too, would hope that the even if we act favorably on the constitutional amendment, that the conference committee moves forward and comes back to the legislature with a compromise.
Senator Reston, just to clarify for members and for others in the audience, if the constitutional amendment was to go to the voters and pass, that would go on forever, correct?
Unless there were a constitutional amendment in the future that would undo the minimum wage index to inflation, the language that would be put in the Constitution does not preclude the legislature at any time, with the support of the governor, from increasing the minimum wage to a higher amount. As I mentioned, just like they're doing in Connecticut right now, they passed one thing last year that was due to go to, or a couple of years ago, that was due, their current law, that was due to go to $9 on January 1st, I believe, and they are now passing a legislation that sets in place a different schedule so it can be done even from year to year, and it does not include inflation.
Thank you. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it is quite an interesting day to see such a broad coalition against this proposed amendment to the Constitution before us, and we've talked about that, but I have to wonder if we're at this odd juncture here, because, quite frankly, the majorities have had this in conference committee now for nearly a year. And quite frankly, it would have been much better, and it would have served Minnesotans better, had that bill been returned to this committee, so we actually could have had a hearing on minimum wage again. Now, we had one last year, but you know, a lot of things happened during the interim. The president's come out and talked about a federal minimum wage of 10-10. CBO report came out and talked about 500,000 jobs lost. We should know, you know, how many of those are in Minnesota. How does that affect Minnesota? And I think there's just a lack of leadership here. Like, this important issue should have come back to this committee. We could have had a hearing on minimum wage after all of the things that happened during the interim. That's why we do those type of things. I think that would have better served Minnesotans. And the fact that we're having a hearing today on an amendment to the Constitution to index minimum wage, I think is a great testimony to the fact that the DFL is having a heck of a problem conferencing this bill. And I think they would be better served if they would listen to more Minnesotans than just the DFL leadership in the running the House and the Senate and the governor. Thank you.
Senator Schmidt, Senator Bonhoeff, and then Senator Schmidt for some last comments, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, the broad coalition, but as I listen to the broad coalition, as I've been listening to folks in my office, there really are people on many different sides. And one of the things that keeps getting mentioned that is not even at all in the discussion, for example, is the two-tier wage system for restaurant servers. And that can't be part of the discussion because it's not in conference. And so I hear from, you know, restaurant owners that are concerned. This issue is so complicated. And so I think what Senator West is bringing forward is she's bringing forward what 10 states have seen, that perhaps by putting it in the Constitution, we don't tie up the legislature year after year after year with this issue. So I'm not sure this is the answer, but I thought it was interesting enough to be to warrant further discussion. And so in support of having further discussion about this, I would vote for that. You know, I don't know that it'll end up on the ballot, and I think that it's certainly, given 10 states have done it, and it was featured in that magazine, that for this committee to just, you know, with all due respect for everybody who spoke, I know some of you don't want inflation, some of you do, some of you want it here, some want it there. I think the public, you know, does want to weigh in. So those are my thoughts.
Thank you. Senator Schmidt, some closing remarks.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd just like to recognize the great testimony from witnesses today, and for those who weren't able to join us today, I know this has been a discussion that's spanned over a year in Minnesota and a lot of effort leading up to it. And I don't think there's a person in this room who would disagree that we need to do something about the minimum wage. A substantial increase is overdue. We hear that loud and clear. And I think there's probably nobody who would disagree that this bill in its current form is not perfect. But what's clear is that we've been discussing this far too long, and we are not reaching consensus on what to do and how to move forward. And what this bill today does is opens up a new chapter in that dialogue and allows us to continue negotiating and to hopefully move towards resolution this session. And that's why I'm going to cast my vote in support of this effort. And I would hope that in Rules Committee and beyond, we can have constructive dialogue and move towards resolution on all these issues we've discussed today. And in my mind, as a what I would hope you'd consider as a pragmatic member of this body, this may be our only path forward. And I think we have to be open to that path.
Thank you, Senator Schmidt. Any further discussion?
Just
Senator Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I've always enjoyed my work here, even as a minority member, because I think this is one committee that consistently seeks to produce a good bill that's going out of here, whichever bill comes before us. You know, as I read the newspaper this morning, I am actually somewhat resentful because I think this committee is being used in political gamesmanship. And quite frankly, leadership pretty much admitted to that in the article that I read this morning. And as a result, I think this is not what we were elected to do. We weren't elected to be political pawns. And in that respect, I'm only in my second year of my first term here, and I know Senator Rest is a pretty straight shooter in everything, and so it disturbs me to say that, but quite frankly, that's the way I feel, and for that reason, I will vote very emphatically no.
Mr. Chairman, I would just respond that one of the things I'm trying to do with this, again, as Senator Schmidt indicated, is provide another path for discussion and to move beyond the politics, and it's politics within. You're absolutely right. Politics within the political discussion and decisions within the within our caucuses. And I'm hoping that this takes it out of that. And otherwise, I appreciate the compliment.
Thank you. I would agree that that minimum wage conference committee seems to be struggling a little bit. I think we're just trying to help come up with a compromise, and the Senate is committed, as Senator Schmidt said, to getting a minimum wage bill to the governor's desk at this year.
At 9:50, or for some of us even more would
exactly.
be fine.
Senator Hurd, I think we're getting ready to vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I sit here and hear half of the meeting, half of the testifier, and my heart pours to them, and it reminds me that what got me here to represent my district is the working family, the working poor. And that's why I'm here. Um, I concur very well with Ms. Edward when she's testified about herself working at FOB. So that meant a lot to me. But this is politics, and before serving here, they asked me whether I'm tough enough for politics. So I am tough enough, and I see in this bill as an option, as an alternative. So I'm going to vote yes for this bill.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Coonan moves that Senate File 2917 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Rules and Administration. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
The motion prevails. The bill is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Senator. Chairman.
Oh. Thanks.